right. So last week, I wanted to give a testimony. Amen. You know, Apostle was talking about how video, watching a video can also impact your life. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Oh, put your hands together for the choir. That was powerful. Amen. That was really powerful. Amen. So, Apostle was, you know, talking to us about how powerful video can be, and that sometimes when we are watching a video, you know, even in your house, when you are watching a TV, like a preacher or, you know, any of those things, you should really get involved. Amen. You know, you should really get, because he said that God is not limited by, you know, the word, the messages that we are hearing, the preaching or the Bible was written by Paul and other people wrote the Bible for some group of people, but it's still effective today. Amen. You know, so God is not limited with time. So I remember, you know, when he was saying that, then it occurred to me, you know, one of the testimonies I keep sharing is when I became born again. I used to be asthmatic, you know, seriously asthmatic, like from childhood. Amen. You know, I used to be very asthmatic. I mean, sometimes in the middle of the night, they have to carry me to hospital, all kinds of stuff, you know. And then it occurred to me that, okay, God healed me, but when did the healing happen? You see, so when he was sharing it, then I think the Holy Spirit just brought it up to me, you know, that it was actually through a television that I got the healing. Amen. You know, it was through a television. I remember one day, I was watching Benny Hinn, I think crusade or something, you know, and at one point he stopped and he said, I mean, there was a group of children gathered on one side of the meeting place, you know, and he asked them whether they wanted the power of the Holy Ghost, you know, and he said that he was going to pray for them and that the Holy Ghost laughter will come upon them, you know, like the power to, I mean, they will burst into laughter, you know, uncontrollable laughter. And I found myself in my room. I'm like, hey, I wanted it. You know, it's like I want to be part of it. So one of the things that I realized that when you pray for them, and in my room for 30 minutes, I couldn't stop laughing. I was like, wow, that's so powerful. You know, and after that, he prayed. You know, it's like when the thing happened, it's okay, now when you are not feeling well, you are sick in any part of your body, put your hands where you are sick. I believe that it was that moment that I got my healing. Amen. You know, so when we are watching videos sometimes, okay, we want to watch a bishop or something, I think that we should really get involved, because videos have a way. God has a way of meeting you even from a video. Amen. So I think that when we are watching, don't think like, just video. Okay, it's like television. No, when it's cartoon. No, this is a different thing. Amen. So I want us to be informed when you are watching video that it can really impact your life, can really bring healing, and can really bring deliverance. Amen. So that's the short testimony I want to share with you, just to make you know that videos are powerful. Amen. Powerful. So let's put our hands together for Apostle. Amen. Come on, do it better unto the Lord. Amen. Powerful. Amen. Oh, you can be on your feet. Let's be on our feet. Welcome, Apostle. Amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for another morning, and we thank you for another opportunity to hear the word of God. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, and it is a light unto our path. We pray this morning that the light in your word will be turned on in our lives today. We pray that the light will shine in the darkness, and that the darkness will not overcome the light. May the light overcome the darkness in the name of Jesus. May the light overcome the ignorance. May the light bring understanding and illumination to our hearts. And may we never again be the same. No one encounters the word of God and leaves the same. Because the word of God will not come back void until it has accomplished that for which it was sent. I pray that your word will accomplish its purpose this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands to the Lord. Amen. You may be seated, please. Amen. Wow, that was some good worship and great singing. from the choir, as well as a beautiful testimony from Pastor Charles. Hallelujah. I believe it's a great opportunity always when we get to come to church on Sunday, because church is the place where we are exposed to the Word of God. And the Bible does teach us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. For these words were spoken by Jesus Christ himself. And if you know who Jesus Christ is, or if you understand his role in creation, the Bible says, without him was not anything made that was made. That means he was involved in the creation of all creation. Hallelujah. He was involved in the making of everything. Now, when you're involved in making something or creating something, one of the privileges that comes with that is that you get to understand the very core of whatever it is that has been made. You understand its composition, and you understand especially what it needs to continue to exist. You understand more than anybody else what it takes to destroy it, and you understand what it can't do without, and you understand who shouldn't or how it shouldn't be handled. Do you see what I'm saying? You understand the wrong ways of handling it. You understand. If you made a certain chair and you were involved in making it, you would know how strong it is or how weak it is. And therefore, you more than anybody else will be able to tell who shouldn't sit on such a chair. You see what I'm saying? So when Jesus Christ says, man shall not live by bread alone, we're hearing these words from someone who was involved in the creation of man. And someone who understands the very core of humanity and who understands what man is composed of. And who understands what it takes for man to survive, what it takes for man to continue to do well, and what man cannot live without. And he says that man shall not live by bread alone. But man needs also for his life to experience a full and complete life. Man needs also every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Man needs everything that God said. That man does not live on bread alone. Hallelujah. I always remember a friend of mine a long time ago who used to have a motorbike. And that motorbike run on a combination of oil and gasoline, just regular, you know, gas. You know, you had to mix them in a certain proportion to be able to run the engine on that motorbike, you know. Now, if you filled that tank with just gasoline, it would just not move. Do you understand? And if you poured in a lot of oil, you would also not get it to start. You needed a combination of the oil and the regular gas in a certain proportion in order for the engine to start on that motorbike. Do you see? It was an old motorbike a long time ago. Hallelujah. But that is how that motorbike functioned. And anybody who did otherwise could not get it to move. You couldn't get the motorbike to do what it was created to do. Even though it would have all the functions, it would have the, it possesses within itself the ability to move you around and take you places. Once you do not feed it with what it needs to do what it was created to do, you will not be able to get it to do it. Hallelujah. A lot of people are going around the world today, you know, filling their lives up with everything else but what it takes or what their lives were created to run on. Do you see what I'm saying? Didn't say man shall not live by education. Didn't say man shall not live by having a boyfriend or having a girlfriend. Didn't say man shall not live by not having a job. Do you see? But these are the things that occupy us fully. And all these things only fulfill one aspect of the needs of a human being. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. All these things just fulfill one small aspect of what it takes for a human being to continue to be around. But rather, the Bible says a very important component for human existence is every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Every human being needs every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That means to start with, you need the word of God. Do you understand? It's impossible to live a meaningful life without owning a Bible. Hallelujah. You need every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And then the other thing you need is a source. You see, a place where the word of God is continuously expounded. You need a place, a constant flow. You need a constant flow. You need a constant flow. There's no house that is built without a kitchen because man lives on bread. We need food. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So when I'm looking for a house or looking for a place to live, one of the most important places to me is a kitchen. I like to see what the kitchen looks like. Yeah, if the kitchen doesn't look good, the rest of the house can. You see what I'm saying? I like the kitchen because it's my favorite place. It is my favorite place. Hallelujah. And so it is important. That is why we build houses. And once any place where human beings are meant to live for any long period of time or any significant period of time comes with a kitchen. Do you see what I'm saying? So you see these hotels that are not meant for long stays. They don't come with kitchens. But when you go to the other hotel called extended stay. Yeah, extended stay, that comes with a kitchen. Do you understand what I'm saying? So many of us are here and are hoping to have extended stay on earth. Do you understand? And so we have gotten ourselves places with kitchens, but some people are missing the other component, which is every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And that is the word of God. That's why you need a church.
Yeah.
Amen. Because a church is like a kitchen. It's a place where the word of God is served. It's a place where the word of God is prepared and served on a regular basis. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, every whatever day your church meets, you know, the word of God is served, the word of God is dished out, and we need it. We cannot live without it. Can I have an amen? It also means that you need what God has to say about everything. That is what every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God also means. It means what God's opinion is about anything and any subject and any area of life. Whatever God has to say about that is something you need to include in your life in order for you to make sense out of that area of your life and in order for you to live or have the most meaning in that part of your life. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you not to stop reading your Bibles. Not to stop listening to messages. Not to stop coming to church. Because you need it. Everything else is important. But so is this. It says, man shall not live by bread alone, but he will live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. No matter how much bread you have, it can only produce or provide half of your living. That means you'll be half dead. Anybody who doesn't have a constant flow of the word of God into his life is actually half dead. He is alive, but half dead. Do you understand? Oh, half dead. You see, like last night I was driving somewhere and this car was following me, you know, and I saw that it had just one headlamp. See, one side was totally blacked out. So for a long time, I thought it was a motorbike following me, you know. And then when I pulled up at a stoplight, it pulled up along there to my right side. And then I realized that it was actually a Mercedes SUV. And I was thinking, how in the world can a Mercedes SUV look like a motorbike? Because it is half dead. Do you understand? A lot of great people are not properly represented. you are not properly packaged, you are not properly presented in life, because you're really half dead. Only one half of you is shining. That is the part of you that eats and drinks and wears clothes and goes to a job and goes to school. That's the only part of you that is functioning. But there's a whole other part of you. How many of you understand that a Mercedes SUV has a lot more value than a motorbike? That is true. But you still look like a motorbike because you have only one light on. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You need both lights turned on in order to look like you were meant to look. In order to look and to sound like you were meant to sound. In order to present like you were meant to be presented. You need both lights turned on. One light is bread. Bread has to do with, you know, school and work and clothing and marriage and all those things. But the other one is the Word of God. Because that supplies nutrients and nutrition to another part of you that actually sustains the rest of you. Can I have an amen? Amen. So that's a bonus exhortation. And let me get into the word that I brought with me this morning to share with you. Amen. I want to share with you this morning for a few minutes about the greater love of God. Amen. The greater love of God. Hallelujah. Greater love. Greater love. John chapter 15 and from verse 12. John chapter 15 and verse 12. Hallelujah. Are you blessed by that short exhortation? Yeah. You need the Word of God. You need what God says about anything and everything in order to have a complete and meaningful life. Amen. All right. So, John chapter 15 from verse 12. It says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another." Isn't it? "As I have loved you." Hallelujah. "This is my commandment." This is my commandment. "That ye love one another as I have loved you." Hallelujah. "This is my commandment." That means this is what I'm telling you. This is my instruction. This is my instruction, that if you're going to do anything with love, make sure it is of this great. Do you understand? That anything that is not up to this grade is not love. Hallelujah. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Hallelujah. That means anyone who is going to walk in love essentially needs to understand, "as I have loved you." Do you see what I'm saying? Anyone who is going to profess to have anything to do with love, whether you're going to be a giver of love or a recipient of love, you need to be familiar with, "as I have loved you." Hallelujah. Because "as I have loved you" is the only real love. Do you understand? "As I have loved you" is the only real love. Everything else is either fake love. Do you understand? Everything else is either counterfeit love or just a small part of "as I have loved you." Hallelujah. Now, in today's world, the word love is one of the words that is thrown around most recklessly. Do you understand? It's a word that people use without really thinking much. Is a word that people use. They use it for, you know, a guy will use it, you know, with a lady. A lady will use it with a guy. And then right after that, use it for the pet and also use it for the car, you know, and then still use it for Taco Bell. And then right after Taco Bell, use it for McDonald's and bring it back to the lady, you know, and then toss it around. It's a word that is just floating around and is used a lot. Hallelujah. And so it is not surprising that often we experience a shortfall of its meaning. Do you understand? To start with, a word that has so many applications must be a very broad word. Do you understand? A word that can be used for your pet and your Taco Bell tacos, as well as your wife or your beloved, do you understand? And your car, all at the same time. You know, it must be a word that is very broad. Hallelujah. So that's what Jesus said. This is my commandment. This is my commandment. A commandment means you don't have options. A commandment means this is how it's going to be. It means you don't get to define it yourself. Hallelujah. And he said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. So love is God's idea, isn't it? Love is God's idea. Love is not a human idea. Love is not something that we invented. Love is not something that humans invented. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Love is something that God created. In fact, it is something that God did not only create, but God also instructed. Hallelujah. That is why everything responds positively to love. Even inanimate objects respond positively to love. If you have something that you really love, you know, and you show love to it by taking good care of it, that thing seems to respond with longevity. It seems to respond by continuing to be what it is and remaining what it is and continuing to do what it was bought to do. And it continues to serve you a long time, whether it's a pair of shoes or a piece of clothing or a keyboard or whatever it is. Even things that cannot or do not breathe seem to be able to respond properly to love. Hallelujah. So when it comes to living things, you see that when they are properly loved, they respond. If you love a dog, the dog feels it. Do you see what I'm saying? The people, the species that experiences and responds most positively to love are humans. Do you understand? And they also respond most adversely to its absence. You see what I'm saying? They have the most adverse reaction when they do not feel loved. Hallelujah. He said, this is my commandment. This is my commandment. This is my commandment, that you love one another. So God is the one who told us to love. God is the one who put in us the desire to love and who put in us the desire to be loved also. Hallelujah. And he says, the only love that passes, he said, you need to do it as I have loved you. Hallelujah. If you're going to love, then you better begin your study on how God has loved us. You need to understand, as I have loved you. You need to understand the love of God. You need to understand the greater love of God. Hallelujah. Because that is the large pool of love out of which all love flows. Can I have an amen? Are you understanding the word of God this morning? So continue with the verse. It says, greater love. Greater love. Verse 13. It says, greater love. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Hallelujah. He said, this is the cup of love. This is the ceiling of love. Greater love. Nobody can love beyond this. Hallelujah. Greater love has no man. No man has greater love than this. That means love does not get better than this. It means the top most, you know, edition of love. Do you understand? It means the highest kind of love. Do you see? It means the top of the range in love. Do you understand? Sometimes cars coming, you know, SE, SX, then you have the top of the range. Limited edition. Platinum version. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, this one, I don't know where we're going to put it. Whether this is limited edition or platinum edition. But Jesus is saying that love This is the fully loaded version of love. Okay? This is where love maxes out. You can't love anybody beyond this. And he said, this is the standard. Greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the ultimate in love. See, the world is really confused about love. A long time ago, we used to sing a certain song. I want to know what love is. Do you know that song? Huh? And I want you to show me. Let me see.
I want to feel what love is.
Yeah, Alpac, sing it for me. Joel, where's the thing?
I know you can show me.
Your parents were in disco
when
this
one.
One, two, go.
It's a little high. I want to know what love is. I want you to show me.
So I need the alto.
I want to feel what love is. I know you can show me. I want you to show me. I want to feel what love is. I know you can show me.
No.
See, that song really echoes the heart of mankind, which is that people are looking for love. The only problem with that song is that people are looking for love in the wrong place. People are searching for love from people who are themselves searching for love. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah? Say, I want to know what love is, and I want you to show me. Can you imagine that I'm saying to you, I want to know what love is, and I want you to show me, and that's exactly what you're also saying to me. And the reason why you can relate with what I'm saying, or the reason why what I'm saying resonates with you, is that's exactly what is in your heart. Which is that as I am trying to find what love is, you know, and I'm asking you to show me, that is actually exactly what you are also here for. Which is that you are also trying to find what love is, and you want me to show you. Hallelujah. And I realize that until we go to the only true source of love, we're not even going to begin to walk in this mysterious thing called love. Hallelujah. The height of love is found in God. It's not found in a human being. It's not found in a human being. It is found in God. He said, greater love has no man than this. Greater love has no man than this. It does not get better than this. That a man should lay down his life for his friends. Hallelujah. He said that you need to love one another as I have loved you. So one of the first mistakes you can make is to try to expect love from someone who does not even know the source of love. Do you understand? You go back to the previous verse, verse 12. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. It means anybody from whom you can expect love must know Christ. Do you understand? Anyone from whom you expect love, anyone that you intend, you know, to receive love from, must know love, because the commandment is that the only love that is acceptable and the only love that will work with human beings is as I have loved you. Now, if you don't know me, or if you don't know I, if you don't know I, how are you going to know how I have loved you? Are you getting what I'm saying? So that is the first case of not shacking up with someone who does not know Christ. It is the first reason why a person who does not know Christ cannot love you. A lot of people, you know, expect love from people who are not connected to love. Yeah. Because the person does not even know the source of love. You see, the person does not even know Christ. He cannot even begin to love you. No, he cannot even begin to love you at all. Hallelujah. He cannot even begin to love you, and it's not going to be long before you realize that actually he doesn't have the capacity to love you. Are you getting what I'm saying? See, people profess or can profess to do things even though they don't have the capacity to do it. See, when my kids were younger, like, there was one of them who was enthusiastic about driving. Do you see what I'm saying? No names. Okay. Yeah. And if you were to ask that person, can you drive or would you like to drive? He would quickly say, oh, yes. You see what I'm saying? Oh, yes. Like, give me the keys. You see, actually, there was one of them, sir, remember, there was one of them who moved the van, you know, and actually hit Nabia one time. Wow. Yeah, the person moved. It's like the van was parked, and before we knew it, the person got behind the steering. The person, you know, got behind the steering wheel and put it in drive, and then the vehicle started gliding slowly towards one of the sisters. I mean, it just touched her. It didn't really run over her, but you know, that's what happened. But human beings are like that. They promise love when they do not have the capacity to deliver. And the thing is that they do not even know that they do not have the capacity to deliver. Do you see what I'm saying? And so they start to relate with you, and then in time they realize, look, there's nothing more here. There's no more love to offer. Do you get it? That reminds me a long time ago also, when I had a beloved. When I had a beloved, one time we had a fight. Yeah. You know, we call it a beast. All right. We had a beast. Okay. So when we had this beast, then I got in a bus. I was traveling from school, from my university, back to my home, you know, in the next big city. And then I sat on this bus, and the bus, I sat under a speaker, you know the bus, the sound system here. And then the driver started to play a song. It must have been love,
but it's over now. It must have been good, but I lost it somehow.
Who's that singing that song? Yeah. You know, as I was thinking, I mean, and I was just wondering that, you know, is this the end? You get it? Because sometimes when you are angry, you can storm out of a relationship. Yeah. But what you're really prepared, the only thing you're really prepared to do is to storm out of the door. But you act like you're really storming out of the person's life. Yeah. Until you step out of the door, then you realize, you know, I'm not ready for this. It's too much. You see what I'm saying? So I remember when I was sitting on that bus and the music was going and the thing, it must have been love, but it's over now. It must have been good,
but I lost it somehow.
I was just thinking, wow, is this me? Is it a prophecy or... Did the Holy Ghost get behind the speaker or something to tell me about this? And I was starting to feel pain.
Oh.
Hey, I tell you, it's not easy when you break a relationship. Do you understand? It's not easy to be unloved. Not these days you can like and then you can unlike. When someone you like unlikes you, it's not an easy experience.
Heartbreak.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? But Jesus said that, you know, the only thing that is called love is as I have loved you. Do you understand? Then he goes on to define as I have loved you. He said, look, what I'm giving you is actually the ultimate in love, which is that a man should lay down his life for his friends. This is the height of it. And if you don't come up to the height of it, you are never going to be a good giver of love. If you don't understand the volume of love, if you don't understand and appreciate what the main domain of love is, if you do not understand that, if you don't experience that, you will never be a good giver of love, and even worse, a good recipient of love. Yeah. Not only do you fail to be able to give love, but you also fail to be able to receive love because you also don't know what it is. Do you understand? A lot of people feel cheated because something was giving them that they thought was love, and then they found out that it was something else. And a lot of people actually offer themselves, you know, in exchange for what they think is love, because they do not know what love is. And so when they give themselves in exchange for that thing, then they realize they've been shortchanged. They feel like they have given out more than they received. And that is only because whatever was offered them in the first place was not the definition of love. But they traded so much for it, and then with time, they begin to realize that they do not or have not experienced love at all. Hallelujah. That is why the starting point for giving and receiving of love is to have a solid relationship with this guy, the ultimate in love. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You need to have a solid relationship. You need to experience the love of God. That needs to be in place. You need to have a firm foundation of experiencing love from God. You need to have a firm foundation of having a real solid relationship with God. If you don't have a relationship with God, then you have not tasted the ultimate in love. And if you have not tasted the ultimate in love, you can accept any of the fake versions, any of the things passing around as love. You can accept them as love and find out later that you were cheated. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But when you've tasted the best, you are able to analyze and evaluate whatever you experience. Do you see? Whatever is being offered to you, you're able to size it up and you're able to place it. You're able to place it in relation to this. You are able to place it. You place it where it belongs. Hallelujah. People look for love when they should be concentrating on a relationship with God to experience the true love and true assurance and satisfaction that only God can give. Because really, only God can satisfy you. Only God can make you truly happy. Only God can make you really content. Not a job, not a husband. You know, you see, to expect a certain kind of love, this type of love, to expect the ultimate in love, even from someone that is called a husband or a wife, who himself has the song going in his head all the time. I want to know what love is. Who himself is searching. It's not even fair. Where's Kanye? Kanye, where are you? She's in the first room. Oh, restroom. Okay. What about Makena? Is she okay? But you see, it's like, Makena, do you know the square root of 257? Come. Come up here, right here. How are you doing? Good. Do you know the square root of 257?
No.
Tell me the square root of 257. I said, tell me the square root of 257. What is the square root of 257? Give me the square root of 257. You don't have the square root of 257. You deceived me. You deceived me. Do you understand what is going on? You see, to expect love from, I'm talking about the love that God is supposed to give you. The feeling you are supposed to have, or the satisfaction that you are supposed to get from experiencing the greater love of God. To expect it from someone that is called a husband or a wife is like asking this person for the square root of 257. If you knew it, would you tell me? Do you know 1 plus 1? What is it? What about 2 plus 2? What about 4 plus 4? Ah. If it was, so it's not an unwillingness to give. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not an unwillingness to give, because what she can give, she's giving. Do you see what I'm saying? But the problem is with capacity. She does not have the ability. You see, the square root of 257 is beyond this girl. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's beyond her. That's not within her range. It's not something she's capable of giving to me. She will not be able to give it to me today. She will not be able to give it to me tomorrow. She will not be able to give it to me next week, because it's just beyond her. It's not her thing. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, when you start to expect love or expect satisfaction and expect fulfillment from another human being who himself or herself is confused about what is love. And then you start to yell at them and start to scream at them, because it's not coming. But often you're yelling and screaming at people and expecting something from them, which really should be coming from God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? What you're looking for, God is the source of it, and God is the only one who can give it in the measures that you require it. Because sometimes what you are looking for is a certain deep satisfaction, an emotional something that even a human being cannot understand. Only God can reach into that depth of your life and heart. Only God can satisfy that need, you know, at its source. That thing is so deep that it will not be satisfied with a plate of food. Yeah. And so you find yourself screaming and throwing tantrums and fighting. You see what I'm saying? I mean, look at this innocent person just returning from the restroom. Just brought to the stage and asked to answer the question, square root of 257. Then with a smile, she says, I don't know. You can take me, toss me, throw me on the stage, throw me back there, bring me back. I just don't know what 257, the square root of that is. And too bad, I don't know what to do. And you know, when this continues, this exchange continues long enough, one of us is going to get fed up. then one of us is going to walk away. Or both of us will walk away. We'll just go our separate ways. And we will say that she never gave me what I needed. And I never gave her what she needed. But you see, if even I understood what I was looking for, I wouldn't even be asking her. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. The question, the square root of 257 is for somebody like Pastor Munene. Pastor Munene is the one who is able to, you know, give such answers. I mean, when he's sleeping and you wake him up and you ask him, what's the square root of 257? He'll just give you an answer. He's that type of person. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you see, if I knew what I was looking for, that's why I'm saying that if you haven't tasted the greater love yourself, not only are you a poor giver, but you're also a poor receiver. You see, your expectations are misplaced. Because if you had tasted the greater love, you would know that its source can never be this person. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes, God gives us different experiences. God blesses us with different experiences that are supposed to be like the icing on the cake. Do you understand? But the cake is the cake. Do you understand? And the icing on the cake was never meant to replace the cake. It decorates the cake. It enhances its look, perhaps even its taste at a point. Do you see what I'm saying? But it was never meant to be the cake. But when you go icing grabbing and start to look for the icing, when you should be looking for the cake, it will not be long before you realize that you really don't have anything. You have something that looked good, something that tasted good, but it really has no nutrition to offer you at all. It was just a decoration. Now, while most cakes can be eaten without the icing, a lot of icing cannot be eaten without the cake. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So a person who has tasted greater love, a person who really experiences God and experiences the greater love, often can have a meaningful life even without a husband, without a job, without this, without a car, without a house, and so on and so forth. Because all of those things are just the icing. They can often have a meaningful life without all those things. But people who have the icing can never taste satisfaction without the cake. You will never, in your longest time, in your longest life, you will never taste the satisfaction that comes from eating the cake itself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God wants you to eat the cake. And as you eat the cake, he decorates it with the icing and blesses you with it. But the icing is never the cake. It is never the cake. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you don't develop your relationship with God, if you don't strive to go deeper into God yourself, if you don't climb higher into the greater love to experience the love of God that satisfies, you're going to be a very poor giver of love. Yeah. It is dangerous for anybody to marry you. And you are yourself dangerous. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Because you are offering yourself to give something that you don't even know what it looks like. Because you have not tasted it yourself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is our time up? Yeah. Are you understanding my message today? So in order for us to be good lovers. Thank you. No, I like your shoes. Right. Do you understand what I'm saying? In order for us to be good lovers, we need to taste this love ourselves. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You need to be someone who has experienced the love of God. You need to know what it is like to be loved by God. You need to have that deep relationship with God. You need to have moments, you know, between you and God that fill you up and satisfy you so much that it leaves you wanting for very little. Do you understand? You think about it. What percentage of the cake is the icing? Do you understand? So even if you really desperately needed the icing, what percentage of the cake would that be? Do you understand? Would you say it's about 10% or 20% maybe? Huh? Maybe 20%? Yeah? Which means that if you are full in God and satisfied from your experience with God, 80% of your needs are already met. Wow. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, 80% of your needs are met. And most people can go around with 80% of anything that's there. Even in class, if you get 80%, you get an A. Do you know what it means? Yeah. It means the professor is just saying, well, the rest of it, you don't really, even if you don't know, it doesn't matter. Because most things in life don't really require 100% perfection. Do you understand? I mean, a car doesn't have to be 100% correct to do what a car was created to do. Oh. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So most things, for most things, so those of us who require perfection in people, we have to change our standards. We have to change our standards. That a lot of things are good, even though they are not 100%. A lot of things are excellent and are great and will do just fine, even if they are not 100%. Yeah, a lot of things are like that. You can live a fully satisfied life on 80%. I'm telling you, as long as your professor will give you an A for 80, what he's saying is enough. He's saying that you don't remember the rest, but it's okay. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When you develop that relationship with God, what you're doing is providing for yourself the cake. And if you say the cake is 80%, then you are bringing yourself to a state of enough. You see what I'm saying? Enough. It's enough. I have God and my relationship with Him. So even if I'm missing this or that, still enough. It's enough. What happens is often we try to make up for the shortfall in our relationship with God, with people, with things, with jobs, with children, with relationships, with green cards, with all kinds of things that we crave. And we feel that we are experiencing 50% or 40% because those things are absent in our lives. And if those things come into our lives, it will top it off to 100%. But that's a lie. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It is only the greater love of God that can bring that satisfaction. Hallelujah. That's why Jesus said, this is my commandment. He said, take it as a commandment that you must love one another as I have loved you. That means you can't begin to love anybody or you can't begin to receive love from anyone until you have started to experience that love that I have to offer. Do you understand? It has to be as I have loved you. You need to taste the love that I give to you first in order to define even what you want, in order to know how it feels to be loved. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Even to know how it feels to be loved and even to know what it is that constitutes love that I must give to another person. To know how to love someone, you need to know as I have loved you. As I have loved you. As I have loved you. One of the things you experience in as I have loved you is forgiveness. Forgiveness for how many sins? You tell me, when you came to Christ, how many sins did He promise to forgive you? Did he ever give you a last warning? Did he ever tell you, I'm going to take this behavior from you 2 times? 3 strikes and you are out. Is that the kind of love that the Lord showed you? You see, that is why you are trying to love somebody, you know, and you have already issued warnings. Do you understand? You have already issued warnings. You have already issued warnings. Is that what we call love? That you already issued warnings. The next time you do this, I'm out of here. Is that what the Lord told you? That is why he said, don't even mess with love until you have tasted the one that I have for you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. You say you love someone. Since you started loving or claiming to love this person, you have put them in prison. Has the Lord put you in prison since he loved you? Have you not realized how much freedom you have even to sin? Have you not realized how much freedom you have even to sin? That as this afternoon, if you were to schedule some rendezvous somewhere, do you understand? That the Lord will not show up to stop you. That's how much freedom you have. How can we claim to love people? They are not allowed to call people. They are not allowed to text people. They are not allowed to go out. They are not allowed to come in. Every time we are running up and down, looking on their phones, looking everywhere. Who is calling you? Who is doing this? Where did you go? How long have you been? What did you do? And you call that love cheap love. It is because you have not experienced the greater love. You don't know the greater love yourself. That's why you call that love. Yeah. You call that love. You call imprisonment love. So the most loved people in America are the prisoners. Because they have been caged. Isn't it? Because now we say caging is love. They've been caged and we've got prison wardens. People are paid a salary just to keep them contained. So they hurt no one and no one hurts them. Those are the most loved people in America. Isn't it? And they are fed for free. They are given medical attention for free. They watch television for free. Yeah, they can take as many showers as they want. And the highest form, greater love has no man than this, solitary confinement. That's the highest form. Solitary confinement, they go nowhere. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you today? I'm talking about the greater love. Tasting the greater love itself. But what is really faulty is that you have not known the relationship with God yourself. You don't have a good exposure and you haven't had a good encounter with the greater love. That's the reason why you call that love. That's the reason why you call restrictive rules and so on. You call them love. It's because I care about you. Yeah. He said, as I have loved you, as I have loved you, as I have loved you, love one another as I have loved you. So you really need to sit up and get into as I have loved you. Begin to investigate, begin to research into as I have loved you. Begin to understand what it means as I have loved you. Because if you don't understand it and if you don't experience it yourself, you will be such a problem. Do you understand? You will be such a problem. You will not be able to love properly. And you will also not be able to receive love properly. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, you will not be able to receive love properly at all. Someone takes you to a Chinese restaurant. You say, oh, I experienced love today. Yeah. It's because you don't know the greater love. You don't know greater love. That is why you think that a Chinese restaurant, Chinese buffet place,
Yeah, just because it's all you can eat. You don't know the greater love. And it is because you don't know greater love that you are offering that as an expression of love. If you knew the greater love, even you wouldn't offer that as an expression of love. And then if you also knew the greater love, you wouldn't accept that as an expression of love. At best, it's a goodwill gesture. Yeah. At best, that's what it is. Try a little kindness. Show a little kindness. Shine your light for everyone to see. Do you understand the message this morning? Yeah? God wants you to experience Him. He wants to be God in your life. He doesn't want you to make any human being a substitute. Do you understand? Do not expect from a human and do not demand from a human what God is supposed to be to you. Do you see what I'm saying? Do not present, if you present yourself in a relationship as a needy person, do you understand? And sometimes you can't help it. You can't hide your neediness because you really are needy. Do you understand? It's like sometimes when people are hungry, I've seen some people, sometimes they are fasting and they're trying not to tell anybody because they said they read in the Bible that when you are doing something, you shouldn't let the right hand see it and the left hand. So you can see, but when you look at the brother's face, you can just tell that this brother is either hungry, there's something going on, seriously. You see, he's about to collapse. When they have a flat belly like Paul, do you understand? Then you see that even the flat bellies, even that is gone. See, even that is gone. Do you see what I'm saying? So you can't hide it. You can't hide it. And sometimes your neediness makes you vulnerable. It makes you, it attracts people to you who shouldn't be around you. Yeah. Because something that God should be to you, you have left God out for its supply. And now you're walking around displaying your vulnerability and attracting other deceived people who also think they are the ones who can meet that need. So they come and flood your lives with applications to meet the need. And because of your warped thinking about what love is, you admit some of them into your life, and then they leave you worse than you were before. Because they themselves are searchers for love. So sometimes even the little that you have, you get it, they come and take that away. They subtract from your self-esteem to build up their self-esteem. Yeah. That is why you have guys who feel that, you know, they must conquer you and conquer you to add to their list of conquests. Do you understand? To subtract from you to build up on theirs so that they can feel more. Because a guy is going around and he feels that until he can sleep with so many women, he is not a man. Do you see? He has tagged his manhood to something else. Because I can't find any other word. Do you see what I'm saying? He has tacked it to something that should not be the determinant of who is a man and who is not. Do you see what I'm saying? So then that makes you his victim. So he needs to take something from you in order to build up his self-esteem so he can feel that he is something he's not. It is dangerous not to know Christ. It is dangerous not to have a meaningful relationship with Christ. It is dangerous not to be satisfied by God. Do you understand? It is dangerous that you are walking around and you yourself have gaping holes in your life. It is a dangerous place to be. It makes you dangerous. It is dangerous to move around hurting yourself. They say hurting people hurts people. That when people are hurting themselves, they hurt others. Because for them, normal is to be hurting. So everyone they see around them, they try to live a normal life with them. And for normal is to hurt you. Because that's what they know. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. So it's not because they don't love you. Not that they don't want you or they don't like you. It's just they don't know how to do it. Do you understand? So one of the best things you can do for anyone that is close to you is to direct them to the Lord. Do you understand? One of the best things you can do for anyone who is close to you is to direct them to the Lord. To point them to the Lord. To make room for them to have a meaningful relationship with the Lord. Encourage them to have a meaningful relationship with the Lord. Because it is only then, do you understand, that their relationship with you will be meaningful. They will even expect less from you. They will actually need less from you. Because they need less from you, they don't expect a whole lot from you. And because they don't expect a whole lot from you, you also don't walk around feeling the guilt always of not meeting their needs. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Because if you have not been asked a question, you don't feel bad about not having an answer. But if you're asked a series of questions all day and have answers for none, you feel terrible. And some of us feel terrible about our lives, feel terrible about ourselves. And yet it is because of who we have brought close to us. They are the ones who are making us feel terrible because they are expecting from us something they should really be expecting from God. Do you understand? They are expecting from us a certain satisfaction that should only come from God. You can help them by redirecting them. You know, sometimes when someone around you is really, really angry, you tell them, listen, go and pray. Yeah, you need some worship songs. Yeah, you need some worship songs. Not a conversation with me. Yeah, not a discussion with me. You need some worship songs. You need a song. Now I belong to you. All I need. Your spirit, your word, your truth. You see, your name is not there. See, it says, all I need is your spirit, your word, your truth, wow. Not any. Yeah. We're going to continue next week. Amen. So, come back next week and we'll continue. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Yeah. That guy wrote that song. He says, now I
belong to you. All I need, your spirit, your word, your truth. Hear my cry, my deep desire.
You come my refuge.
trust in you.
And I trust in you.
Yes,
I trust in you. I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. Oh, I believe you're my portion.
You're more than enough. Trust in you.
I trust in you.
Yes, I'll trust in you.
I trust in you. I believe you're my healer. I believe you. Portion. I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me.
Oh Jesus,
Jesus, you're all I need.
You're more than enough.
You're more than enough.
bow your heads, everybody, as we close the service. Maybe you're here this afternoon and you're saying, Lord, I want to experience this greater love. The first thing that greater love does is that it forgives your sins. It says, greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay his life down for his friends. Jesus laid his life down for you and I as his first demonstration of greater love. His first step to convince you that only he can be to you what no man can be to you. His first step was to lay down his life for you. And what is your response to that? There needs to be a response. When you're playing a game with someone and they play, you need to play back for the game to continue. And Jesus put his first card down. He said, I lay my life down for you. What is your response to that? If you choose not to respond to that, then the game ends right there. But you can respond to that by saying, Jesus, thank you for laying down your life for me. I respond by asking for forgiveness and asking for your blood to wash me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. That is the most appropriate response today to the Lord. So if you're here today and you're saying, I am that person, I want to respond to greater love today. I want to respond to that love of God. Just quietly raise up your right hand and I want to pray for you. I'll just pray with you. You're saying, I want to be that person that will respond to God's greater love. I'm going to pray for you. Is there anybody here like that today? You're saying, Pastor, pray with me because I want to give my life to Jesus. I want his blood to wash me and to cleanse me from every sin in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, yes. I want you to talk to God. If you're already saved, salvation is not all there is to a relationship with God. The next level is to develop intimacy with Him. And maybe you're here this morning and you're saying that that intimacy is missing. That thing is not there between me and the Lord. Somehow the events of the recent past, maybe some situation in your life, or even just sheer busyness, just being busy, going up and down and working, sometimes discouraging situations, all these things have come in to choke that intimacy, and that relationship with God is not there anymore. But today you can experience a restoration of that relationship. I want you also to lift up your right hand right where you are, and I'm going to pray for you. You're saying, Pastor, pray with me because I feel that that intimacy, that closeness to the Lord is no longer there. I've lost it recently somehow. I don't know where I lost it. I don't even know to what I lost it, but I just know that it's not there. A certain closeness that I used to feel, it's not there anymore. I remember when I used to wake up singing. I remember when I used to love singing. When I used to read my Bible. When I used to pray every day. But that thing is not there anymore. Somehow I lost it somewhere along the line. And I want that relationship back. Just raise up your right hand. I'm going to pray for you. We're just closing. Just raise up your right hand. God bless you. Just raise your right hand. Just raise your right hand. Anybody? Thank you, Jesus.
All for you,
You hold my world in your hands. Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible.
Come on, everybody, lift up your hand and just worship him this afternoon. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you for your greater love.
I thank you for your greater love.
I thank you that no man can be to me.
I thank you that no man can be to me.
What you intend to be to me.
What you intend to be to me.
Say, forgive me, Lord.
Forgive me, Lord.
I have put people in your place.
I have put people in your place.
I have put a job in your place. I've put children in your place. I've put money in your place. I've put many other things in your place. No wonder I am where I am.
No wonder I am where I am.
But thank you, Jesus,
for finding me
today. I'm coming back to you. I'm coming back to you. I'm coming back to that place where I can say you're all I need. Where I can say you are my portion. As long as I have you. As long as I have a relationship with you. It is well with my soul. No matter what is absent. No matter what I'm missing. No matter what my life is missing, no matter what appears to be missing in my life, as long as I have you, you're all that I need. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah.